We are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What's up, everyone? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about the sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher. I don't know the who's who's, and I don't know the what's what's.
What up, y'all? It's Sizzin from the North. I am an alpha male. Currently, I live on the west side of Nashville, Tennessee. You can find my place pretty easily. Just look for the bluff. And on the weekends, me and Baser shotgun the hard seltzers. There's so many now. We prefer the Bud Lutes. Excuse me, the Bud Lights.
So everyone listening, you heard. Go to the bluffs. Look for Raymundo. You'll be out there.
And guys, I'm just going to go ahead and hit it.
No, wait, wait, wait.
Looking for McDonald.
I thought you were going to hit the – no, you're supposed to hit the one shining moment, then we're going to, you know, talk
Ray,
about
– it's on the script.
What a game! What a game! Oh, my gosh, guys!
What a game.
I mean, that is what basketball is all about.
It's not about dribbling and ball in the hoop. No,
well, no, there was a lot of that. There was dribbling. There was ball in the hoop. There was amazing play after amazing play. Comes down to the wire. I mean, everybody that is what March Madness is about.
Right.
And that is why we're here. Now you hit it, Ray.
Looking for McDonald. Lobs it into McDonald. 5 seconds left. Woo! McDonald, 2 seconds. McDonald traps. Heaves. Can't hit. That is it.
No, he made
Stanford
it. No, he made it. Stanford.
Again. Stanford Cardinals!
Stanford?
National champions!
Oh, my gosh!
What are you talking about?
The Stanford Cardinal!
What is this, from another year?
They take down Arizona in the NCAA championship, women's edition!
Oh.
That's right! The Stanford Cardinal pulled it off! They beat Arizona,
really,
the three
coach?
Seed!
Coach, that's shock jock radio right there.
You really,
think,
coach?
The listeners all think one clip's going to be played, the guy's clip. And then we get them with the women's clip.
I mean, what are you, TMZ, coach, making us click on something and it's not the thing we want?
Sorry, it was called clickbait.
Is this real, though? Did they really win the championship?
They really won that was it. It was a last-second shot by Arizona to win it, and they missed off the back of the rim.
Wow.
And let me tell you, I watched some of the Arizona-UConn game because I thought UConn was the best women's program. I've never really watched. But the fourth quarter was on what night was that? Friday night. And
they have
the
quarters?
Yeah, which I like a lot better.
And
I don't understand
halves.
Why the men's team don't have quarters, but whatever. And this Arizona girl, the point guard, she was really fast, but it's pretty boring. UConn got dominated.
It's boring
and I
basketball?
Found out
yeah, by you watching something boring, that means you, my friend, are very boring.
That means UConn has now lost the last four times in the national semifinals. I thought they won the championship every year. I had
no
idea.
No, I think Oregon was really good too, right?
Yeah, Oregon was. But Stanford, wow.
Did you watch this game?
No.
Oh.
Didn't watch this game.
Oh.
Because I looked after Arizona beat UConn, I saw they were going to play Stanford in the national title, and I was like, oh, let me check it out. They're both in the Pac-12. Let me see what their scores were earlier in the season. They played twice earlier in the season, and I think Stanford beat them by 30 both times.
No kidding.
Say it ain't so.
You think guys in the construction site are talking about this right now, coach?
I'll be. Really.
But that's what you want in basketball. Comes down to the last second shot. Ray, hit it one more time.
The next one?
No, I was going to go back to that one.
That one's outie.
I mean, you're okay. Like McDonald's got the ball. I'm like, who? And then Stanford wins. I'm like, what?
But
you got all the listeners on that one. The joke's on them,
I mean, coach.
Coach,
you got me.
April Fool's is all month, baby.
How about Gonzaga UCLA?
I didn't watch it. I was watching this one.
No, this was on a different night. Gonzaga UCLA is, one of
the
best
basketball games of the tournament
you've ever seen. One of the best college basketball games you've ever seen.
Ever?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you could always.
I mean, ever seen?
Yes.
College basketball?
Yes.
That I've ever seen?
That you've ever seen. It's one of the best.
In my lifetime?
Yes.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I can't think of any other one, but that's because I don't really.
I thought the Michigan game the week before was the greatest one.
Well, yeah, coach. This one outdid
no.
that one. I thought that Alabama one was really good when they went to overtime.
No, but it wasn't. This was everybody making shot after shot.
No, this was a great game. The entire game.
The entire game. It was high-quality basketball the entire
time. Not just
time.
The last 30 seconds
right,
of the game.
Right, that's what
the
I mean.
The whole game was really good.
It was all game long. Like, you think, okay, UCLA is about to get blown out. And then here they come, just carving their way back. Oh, no. Gonzaga's going to pull away. Nope, here comes UCLA. I mean, UCLA gets a little lead. Is Gonzaga going to get their buttholes puckered in? Oh, there goes the perfect season. No, they're going to scratch and claw their way back. What incredible basketball.
Now, when Alabama scored their buzzer beater to go to overtime, you said you saw it from when it left his hands, it was going in. This one, when you saw it leave Suggs' hands, was it going in?
No. And he is so, like, hit the clip.
Oh. The look you wanted.
Absolutely. Good job screening out again. Bruins with a shot to tie it or win it. With 12 seconds. Guzan. Again with the ball in his hands. In the paint. Floater. Short. Got it back. Ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Sox for the win. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Unbelievable. Woo!
When you're watching that, what do? I'm watching it live and I yell, holy shit.
Whoa, what are you... What's wrong
Holy
with you?
Shit,
what's wrong with you? Why are you cussing all of a sudden?
No, doing it for the ratings.
Guys, I am telling you how I reacted.
Sorry,
in
all the kids listening to the cars, I'm sorry.
That is how
Don't say that word.
That's how I reacted in live time on the couch watching it.
Great, coach. We could have imagined that. It's like this dumb movie I watched. No, I mean, it's not dumb. It was really good. Nomadland, real quick. Great movie, by the way. But there are two scenes where she's taking a dump in a bucket. I'm like, do we really need to see her take a dump in a bucket? Two times. Go ahead.
What?
That's how, yeah, how did that have anything to do with me?
It's the same thing. You can tell the whole story without saying the S word.
How did you react when you're watching?
Holy sh! I had all my kids with me. All my kids were all there.
See,
so.
My kids were asleep. My wife was asleep. My wife pops up on the couch. What? What? And I was like, he just banked it in overtime to win freaking game.
Question, do you have to say bank it in or can you just say he made the shot?
No, bank. Because
okay.
That means it was on accident. You don't ever
Coach,
try to.
It's always on accident.
Not the bank is not always. Tim Duncan banked it on purpose all the time.
Bank is only open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
No, what I'm saying.
It's open on Saturday, 8 to noon.
What I'm saying is just because it went off the bank, off the glass to go in, doesn't mean it was more of an accident than the guy chunking it at the rim.
No, absolutely. It was more of a lucky shot when he hits it off the.
I think you and I will always argue about that one.
If you are throwing it from mid-court and you hit it off the odds of it going in off the backboard are worse than if it is just a straight, I think.
Okay, good. Do the math and figure it out.
This week on ESPN, science breaks down a basketball shot.
There's no difference.
Because when it hits off the backboard and goes in on a jump shot like from three or the announcer's like, oh, off the backboard. Oh, and it went in. Okay. They're more surprised when it goes in off the bank.
I honestly believe I've heard there's more chance is for the ball to go in if you start it off the backboard.
That's why the square's there, guys. The square is there because the first guy that invented basketball was like, let's put a square on it. That way it has better chance to go in.
So I'm screaming, going crazy, and Jalen Suggs, jumping on the scores table. Everybody's crowding around him.
Do you feel
D-Wade
like you're
was
there
the first to do it
when you're when you're jumping?
Jordan
up and down.
Was before D Wade.
LeBron was before D Wade.
Will Chamberlain was before Jordan.
Okay. Did he ever jump on the scores table?
May have.
I may have. I don't know. I couldn't see. It was
Coach,
in black and white.
When
and
you're jumping up and down, do you feel like you're there with Suggs and the entire Gonzaga
basketball
team?
You thought he won, too.
Yeah.
No.
Get him a shirt.
Do you throw paper in the air so you feel like you're in there, too, with the confetti?
No, I don't need to do that. I just – the excitement of the amazement of a great basketball game and him making that shot – it was just so awesome.
It was awesome.
Boys, it was great.
This is how much women cared about that. My wife said, listen, if it gets close, do you want me to wake you up? And she said, yes. If Gonzaga's going to lose, if it's getting really down to it, please wake me up. She laid down 20 minutes before the end. Well, I go, hey, you got to get up. It's less than a minute. 2-point game. Just please. It's getting nuts. You told me to do this. And she goes, you know what, I'm going back to sleep. Just let me know what happens. I mean, women don't care, a majority of them.
Well, Coach, my little ones went to bed. They fought and fought. Can we please stay to the end? Can we please stay to the end? My wife's like, no, it's already late. Like, you have to go to bed. So she puts them to bed, says their little prayers.
Coach, it was like 10:30, laying the law down.
Coach, so she had to go say little prayers or whatever. So me and my 13-year-old were down there. We start screaming. Oh my gosh. So then she runs down. She's like, what? You have to watch this. You have to watch this. And even she was amazed by it.
That's America for you. That is
a little
the
bit of
cornucopia.
This, a little bit of that, Coach.
Jalen Suggs, though, they interview him after the game. He's like, oh, I knew it was going in. No, you didn't. You never know. When you throw it off the backboard, you do not know it's going in. And what the UCLA, that
are you calling him a liar?
Yes. Jiang, I don't know how you
say it. Ju Jiang. You only watch
that
the whole game with the announcer pronouncing
is
it.
Legit. A baller. Yeah. I mean, every single time. Get here, get my shot.
That
Let me
Tiger
go here, get
that
my,
Tiger guy's a
Tiger,
baller.
Tiger, great. Great. Small dude, knows how to control his body. He does a little, slow down. Oh, speed up, go up and under. It was such a fun game. That left-handed center for UCLA, he shoots those jump shots any game of the year. He's missing every one of them.
Number two.
But all of a sudden, he's jumping out. I think his name is Riley. 17-footers.
Yeah.
And he's making everything. It was just shot after shot after shot.
Ray, did you bet the over on that one?
Yeah. Yeah, I said it was going to be a track meet. I was talking to our boss at the courts before the game, and he said, I believe his final words was minus 14 is the lock. And I said, no, my friend. It's going to be a track meet, and that it was.
I am just UCLA played out of their minds, and I hate when people say.
No, there we go.
What?
Go ahead, because I said it. There are certain things that make teams different. They play harder. They try harder. I mean, UCLA.
Gonzaga was trying just as hard.
No, I get it, and that's why they're winning. Houston, for some reason, didn't fight as hard.
No, they just got blitzed. There was nothing they could do.
Blitz.
It didn't matter what Houston had no shot. Baylor was on fire. They played out of their minds. Houston, they tried their heart. There was nothing they could do to stop them.
I think the perfect example is the dude missing the jump shot and then going getting his own rebound and putting it back in. Like that to me at the end, the UCLA guy, yeah. That to me is the epitome of how hard they played. Most times they'd be like, forget it. Dang it, I missed it. We're going to lose this game. That's the mentality. Not him. He knew he was going right. He ran for it, put it back in. Tied ball game. Let's go.
And then just the pure chaos. I don't know if UCLA thought, okay, Gonzaga's going to call a timeout. But they all just ran back on defense, no one tried to stop the ball. So Jalen Suggs just dribbles the ball straight.
I don't think you think about
right.
Him even making
well,
a half-court
shot. Well, the last thing
shot.
You want is to foul him and
right,
give him
but you
three
want
shots.
To at least get in his way so he has to move a little bit. He got the ball in straight line.
That's when you get a foul drawn on your
– It was
Coach,
so
I've seen
good.
More defense on those dude perfect shots than in that game. I mean, they just wanted him to get one of those shots.
It was such an incredible game, and I hate when people say, man, I didn't want either team to have to lose, but I'm going to say it. I felt awful for UCLA. I felt awful for them.
You hate what? That
when
they say
people
what?
Say, oh, you really hate to see either of these teams lose. Well,
you do.
That game, I was like, man.
You do because I'm telling you, while we were watching this game, me and my family were talking about, like, well, who do you want? Because we were all out. We're all out of the brackets.
Right.
I didn't even place. I placed the plus 14.5, you know, when the game started on UCLA. So I knew the entire game I was fine. I was going to win my $10, whatever. So I wasn't sweating it. But I started rooting for UCLA. I'm like, come on, let's go. And then my son is like,
UCLA.
Dad, you've been thinking Gonzaga's going to win the entire time. I'm like, I know some, but to me, it's exciting to see a no-name come back and, like, take on the Giant.
A no-name?
Well, I don't think UCLA is a no-name, but they were a low seed.
That's where the greats went.
Well, I mean, like, come on, let's be real. We never saw UCLA in the Final Four.
You're right.
No one shut their eyes and said, what's going to happen this Final Four? UCLA is going to be there. No. No one did. So it's cool to see that. But we were going back and forth. You're like, oh, I don't know. God, Zach is playing so good. Like, they're so awesome. And then like, oh, my gosh, UCLA is going to win this game. This is crazy.
The key is, or the real question is, what do you guys think in the national championship?
I expect another game exactly like that.
I don't.
That didn't answer my question.
I don't. I don't see a game close like that at all. When I close my eyes, Coach, I see something that, again, what did everyone say, Ray, after the end of this game? We did not see this coming.
Oh.
A game this close. Unbelievable. It's going to be like that again. This championship's going to be like, oh, my gosh. We thought that so-and-so would play much better than this.
This is the two best teams all year. They were the two best teams in college basketball.
Are they both ranked number one?
Yes. They were at one point.
Wow.
And so it is only fitting that you get the two best teams all year. Usually you don't get that in the college basketball with the NCAA tournament because someone has an off night.
You said it. Somebody has an off night.
But these two teams have been the best all year. They were supposed to play earlier this season, but it got, I believe, COVID. Canceled that sucker. So
only sign of weakness they saw in Baylor ever.
COVID's the real champ.
No, COVID's not, because there's going to be a
COVID
team
lost
that wins.
COVID already beat both of them.
No, coach. COVID lost a couple of season games. That's it. They won a couple of season games. COVID's going to lose this whole
COVID
thing.
Won a game in the tournament. They played.
They played Virginia Commonwealth.
Yeah, VCU.
They did. They did win a game.
Coach, they did try to mark.
I am so excited to see this game. Gonzaga, I don't think Baylor is going to make everything like UCLA did. I don't think they're going to make every single shot. So Gonzaga took punch after punch after punch after punch of the underdog and still maintained and were able to deal with the pressure. Because everybody always says, Gonzaga plays nobody. They've never had any pressure on them. They had pressure and they handled it. And they battled, they scraped, they clawed, and they won. And I think Gonzaga is going to win. The speed of Baylor, I think, is going to give Gonzaga trouble. But I am here for it. It is going to be an amazing freaking game
tonight.
Does
Baylor have the same shooting Gonzaga does? I don't think they do.
Baylor has better shooting than Gonzaga.
They do?
Lights out, my friend.
Gonzaga is more inside.
Yes.
They have Kispert. They have Kispert that can shoot the three. Timmy what?
Eddie's just naming marquee guys.
No. You give Timmy the ball, he's going to put it in
the
bet.
Coach, you didn't know that name a week ago.
No, coach. I saw him last year. Throughout the whole season, that's the only reason I would bet on Gonzaga because of Timmy.
And the mustache.
The mustache.
Is he super annoying?
The mustache wasn't there the whole season.
Right. Is he annoying?
Yep. Get this. They win it all.
He's starting to get annoying.
You know he's coming out with shirts and stuff.
He's starting to be annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, his cockiness is getting a little
annoying. What happened to him? Was he foul trouble? Is that why they pulled
him? Yes, he was in foul trouble.
Okay.
How about he had to take that charge of the block. Like, that was the game at the end of regulation. He stepped up because he's going to have a wide open layup. And if they call it the other way, it's ball game because he's going to make one of those two free throws. You raised your hand.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So when you have four fouls or three fouls, you commit your third foul. Do they have to take you out of the game?
No.
So then why do they always take him out for
because
like 30
precautionary
seconds?
Precautionary, coach.
You have to, as a coach, you have to manage the game. If you have three fouls with 15 minutes left to go in the game, you got to set them down because it's like, don't trust them.
I'm talking about Suggs being, he gets his fourth foul or third foul or whatever, and they take him out for literally 10 seconds. He sits his butt down, and within a millisecond, they say, get back up, you're going back in. And it's like, what was the point of taking him out for 10 seconds?
To give him a chance to cool down.
Yep. He didn't cool down. Coach, he didn't cool down. He was confused on what was happening. Oh, I'm out. Oh, I'm in. What are you doing? I don't understand that. If they're supposed to get sit down, cool. If not, just say, dude, just stay out there. You're our freaking star of the game. Just stay out there.
Listen, Timmy, that block he had at the rim. Oh.
Timmy, you have four fouls. Just stay out there. Who cares? We need you.
No. See,
we need you.
What they were doing with Timmy is they were taking him out on the defensive end and putting him in on offense because you don't want him to pick up that fifth foul.
I'm using Timmy as an example. That's a bad example.
Right.
I meant when Suggs really sat down for 2 seconds. And they said, get back up. You're going back in.
Cool.
Why even take him out?
And because he's better on the offensive end than the guy that he replaced him.
But I'm going to trust the coaches on that one, Eddie, over you.
Coach, I'm just asking the question because it seems like, oh, man, you got three fouls. I have to take you out.
It is one of those things where the history has always said, oh, if a guy gets three, four, take him out. What if you just leave him in and tell him to be careful?
Let me tell you something about history.
If you leave him in, you're like, hey, if they come at you, you just let him take a layup.
Yeah,
but it's easier said than done. Natural instinct is to get in their way and play defense because that's what you've been taught since you were a child. And as a competitor, you don't want to just give up an open layup. So you try to, and sometimes they try to get out of the way and then they end up fouling anyway.
Oh, I understand. I get it. I get the whole, the whole be careful. You got one foul left, but there's no reason to say, hey, you have one foul left. There's only 2 minutes left in this game. I'm going to take you out for a little bit.
What? Just stay in and be careful. You know you have one more foul. That's it. Just be careful. I don't need to sit you out, put you in timeout so you can get your little towel over your head, sit there and think about what you've done for 10 seconds. It's weird to me.
I think Suggs was just frustrated with the refs not getting a call. He was boiling over, and Mark Few saw that and said, hey, let's get him out. Give him 30 seconds to just kind of...
little good second-grader timeout right there.
That's right. Second-grader timeout. He did it, and boom.
I believe that we're going to see ourselves one heck of a track meet. Tim, whatever his name is, Times.
Timmy.
He saw it. We're not fouling hard because you don't want to put yourself in foul jeopardy trouble. So tonight's game, they're going to let them play. These guys are going to be flying. Nobody's even going to contest a layup. You want a layup? Cool. Go in and get it. I'm not fouling you. In my personal opinion, look for that tonight. I believe the over-under set at 160. That's Vegas saying, please, for the love of God, take the under. It's track meet. Go over. That's just the style of offense that Gonzaga runs.
Who's winning the game? Who do you think's going to win? Who do you want to win?
Sad thing is, I haven't watched as much Baylor as I would have really wanted to. I've seen them a little bit. What I've seen from Gonzaga, Timmy was in foul trouble and they still won the game. I mean, for God's sakes. I really believe Gonzaga's your team.
All right. Well, we have to stop this because we have a very special guest. I didn't know he was there. I just saw a Donald Duck.
He has a Donald Duck screen.
He has a Donald Duck screen. So if you can join me in welcoming Ray.
Coach, did someone die? What's happening?
No.
Where's your voice?
We're going to clap for the one and only Dave the Cobra Parker.
Hey! Thanks, guys.
Hey. What's going on, my man?
Nothing much. Just talking to you.
That's terrible. Man, you guys, it's a bad day then.
A slow day at the office.
So,
he's kind of chopping in and out.
Is he there?
I'm here.
Oh, there we go.
All right, Dave. So tell me, you spend all this time in the major leagues. You know, you're the original badass because I didn't realize, I'm going to be honest with you, as a little kid, I would look at your baseball card and I'm like, okay, this Dave Parker guy, because your end of the career was right when I was born in 81. So you were a stud early on before I was, really understood baseball. And looking back, damn, dude, you were really freaking good.
Yeah, I played a little bit. I was all right.
No. Dave, you were He's more humble. Than all right, Dave. I want to know, have you ever sucked at anything in your life?
No.
Oh, someone's laughing. Who's laughing? Is that your wife?
That's my grandchild. My grandson.
That's me laughing.
Yeah, because you wanted to play football at Ohio State. You're a stud baseball player. You hurt your knee. So you say, you know what? I mean, I could have gone pro in football, but I'll just stick to baseball and I'll just be a super badass.
Well, I dominated. I did a lot of great things. I did 2 batting titles, MVP, just about anything that you could win, I won.
Now, so high school baseball, I read, the book Cobra is out now. People can buy it. They can download it. They can read all about your career, all about your life. So you try out, an open tryout for the Reds, and you're so damn good they want to sign you, but you're only in the 10th grade.
Right. I was 6'4", 220, so I looked like a grown man.
Dang.
But I was in the 10th grade, and I worked out and hit some balls in the sun deck. And I was walking away, and the guy said, hey, where are you going? I say, well, I'm done. He said, well, we want to sign you. I say, you can't sign me because I'm in the 10th grade.
So how easy was high school for you? Like, did they just walk you every time because you were so good?
No, we played in a pretty competitive division. We played against Pete Rose's team. We had a team called Withrow that was a pretty good ball club. So we played some real competitive guys.
So when you get to the major leagues, you're pretty much the trailblazer. You're the one that kind of got the salaries going up, up, and up. You were the first $1 million baseball player.
Right, and I paid a price for being the first. Being the first always seemed to be the guy that get the butt of all the negative stuff. But I was the first to make $1 million+ a year. I'm still waiting on these guys to send me my 10%. You know, money, I'm waiting on my 10%.
So if you watch baseball now, what do you think of baseball now compared to when you played?
There we go.
It's different. They're not fundamentally sound. I mean, I see guys make mistakes that, you know, they should have had all that taken care of before leaving the minor leagues. They're guys that go 25 different ways. They don't have that cohesiveness, you know, like that brotherhood that I emphasize in the book. You know, guys don't stick together like we did.
What do you think about the more, like nowadays they're getting paid, like Joey Gallo gets paid a crap ton of money and he hits 200, but they're happy because he hits 30 bombs, but he strikes out 6,000 times a year. Like, how do you watch that and just go, this is crazy?
Yeah, I watch guys that have put emphasis on base percentage, walks. You know, if I'm hitting third, I want to do some damage. I want to drive in runs. I want to be that key guy. And guys put emphasis on things that they shouldn't.
Why did you decide to write the book now? What is it? Why did Cobra, the book, why did you feel like you wanted to tell your story?
Well, I was a controversial guy, and people didn't really know who Dave Parker was. My teammates did. The organizations I played for did, but I don't think the general public was aware of who Dave Parker really was. So I just wanted to let people know that I was a guy that cared about his teammates, cared about his fans, and did just about anything that it took to win.
Hey, Dave, so quick question. I was just curious how much baseball you're watching on a regular basis now that it's back. I know it just started back. And then also, do you plan on going to any games this year that kind of stadiums are opening up a little bit?
Well, I did a book signing this past weekend. So that was my first introduction to this year's season. I'll probably see about 10 or 12 games.
Nice. Are you watching it on TV when SportsCenter's on? Are you watching the highlights? Did you kind of try to stay away from it a little bit just because it was so much of your life for so long?
Well, I watch the highlights, but I don't put no major emphasis on making sure I'm there to watch it. I can watch it or not. You know, it's not a real big deal.
I have a question about when you played in high school. I heard guys that back in the day, like, you probably could have had more home runs, but in some places there weren't even fences. Like, when you played in high school, were there home run fences? Or did you just have to hit it in a creek or something for it to be considered a home run?
I used to hit it in the Mill Creek. Old right field fence. They had a place where the waste material went. I didn't retrieve any balls, but I hit a lot of them in the creek.
That's awesome, dude.
Dave, one of the coolest things, like, when you're a sports fan is hearing these stories of, you know, just different things that happened back in the day. And I know that you played for the Pirates back in the early 70s, and one of the biggest stories that came out of that time was Doc Ellis pitching his no-no on LSD. When you joined the team, I think you joined it a few years after he did that. What did you know that story existed? Did you ever see Doc around? Would you ask him about that?
Yeah, I saw Doc in 71. And they had told me that they knew a guy that acted just like me, dressed like me, act like me. And they were talking about Doc Ellis. So when we met each other, it was a pre-arranged meeting. And Doc was a guy that I had to believe. If he said he pitched a no-hitter off acid, he did. He told me that he wasn't even aware of it taking place until the seventh inning. And that's when he got nervous, seventh inning, he still had a no-hitter. And he told me that he did it. So I'm inclined to believe
him. Dave, one question quick about just, you know, we always have the debate here about, you know, pitchers trying to either intimidate you when you're batting or intentionally trying to hit you. I feel like there are more accidents than there are intentional hits.
What's your thought on that? Do you think pitchers intentionally try to hit batters, or do you think it's usually an accident?
Well, I think it's an accident now. I know when I played, you know, guys like Bob Gibson would use the knockdown pitch to set up another pitch. So it was all by design with them. But I think guys now just make more mistakes. But they get away with doing flips to first base after a home run. You know, the stuff that they do, they would have never got away with in my day.
Did you ever charge the mound?
About four times. I wasn't really mad because, you know, I didn't want to do no damage. I know the commissioner, I had a episode with the Mets, and they threw me out of the gang, and I got fined. And I called him and said, well, did you fine Davey Johnson, Gary Carter, did you fine them? And I told him that why did I get fined? He said, well, I was just trying to keep you from killing somebody. So he knew that I had a reputation for mixing it up.
Hey, Dave, you still you go hit up the batting cage? You still toss the ball around a little bit, or are you kind of done with all that crap?
Well, I worked for the Reds for about 3 years where I went over and gave hitting instructions to the organization's youth group. And I got involved for 3 years. So I was involved with hitting and doing baseball fundamentals.
So in your new book, Cobra, are we going to see stories about your old teammates where they're no longer going to talk to you? Because, you know, like Ball 4 came out way back in the day, and it was so controversial because, you know, he talked all about his ex-teammates and things they did. Anything like that, or is this all about Dave Parker?
Well, it's basically all about me. I tell some stories about Doc Ellis and guys that I played with in the minor leagues, Venezuela. I played over there. I hit 401 in Venezuela. They got me on, picture of me on the stadium in Valencia. So I tell stories like that.
Hey, Cobra, I got a question. Last one for me, probably. So when you're, this is kind of for the kids listening, if they need some tips, you know, they're getting up there at the plate. So when you would hit your home runs, when you got your big crush hits, did you sometimes try to guess if it was going to be a curveball or a fastball? Or did you just, as the pitch came, that's when you, or did you zero in on a location where you kind of anticipated the ball was going to be?
I was a first pitch fastball hitter. And I looked for a fastball, and I looked for it in a zone. And that worked out a lot because the pitch that he controls the best is usually his fastball. So I look fastball and adjust everything else. So I was a fastball hitter.
Love it.
Dave, when we were kids, you know, we collected baseball cards. Lunchbox talked about that, and, you know, it definitely had some of yours. Did you ever collect your own baseball cards, or did you care that you had a bunch of baseball cards out with your pictures and your stats and everything? Is that cool?
Hey, it was cool. And it provided you with something that you can sign long after you retire. I got tons of baseball cards that people have sent me over in my trophy case. So I still have a large collection.
When you make it to the major leagues, because you grew up, you know, a sports fan, obviously playing sports, what was your, like, oh, my God, I'm on the same field with blank players? Were there certain players you were just like, I can't believe I'm actually playing baseball with them?
Well, Frank Robinson was my idol. I lived about a block away from Crosley Field, which was the old Reds ballpark. And I used to watch Frank come in. He'd be driving his little porthole Thunderbird and with the porthole window. And he was my idol. I followed him. And when I made it to the major leagues, I was overwhelmed to be on the same field with Frank.
What pitcher, I mean, because you crushed. You batting titles, MVP. What pitcher gave you fits? Like, you know, you obviously had a great track record, but which one could you just like, man, every time I face this dude, he just gets me?
Steve Carlton. He had an unhittable slider. He'd throw the slider middle of the plate out, and when it broke, it was over another batter's box. He would punch me out three times, and somehow or another, he'd throw a slider at me, and it would break over the plate, and I'd take him deep. Hmm. He struck me out more than any pitcher I ever faced.
Was Jose Canseco a weirdo when you played with him? Because, I mean,
because he's definitely one now.
I mean, he's definitely a weirdo now. He talks about Bigfoot and stuff on social media. I just want to know, was he as kooky back then, or is it just a new thing?
Well, Jose is Jose, and he was kind of, he had his own ideas on various topics, and I guess Bigfoot would have been one of them.
Dave, so along kind of those lines a little bit, when you're a player and you obviously have the talent, you have the stats to be a superstar, but there's definitely the Ricky Hendersons, there's the Ken Griffey Juniors and all those that are definitely superstar status for a different reason other than their ability to play sports. Did you ever think, like, how can I get to that next level? Do I need to be a bad dude? Do I need to have an edge? Do I need to have something that sells me? Was that ever a conversation in your career other than just playing baseball?
Well, I put all my emphasis on being the best. And I would have the sayings that I would talk about when the leaves turn brown, I'd be wearing the batting crown. I had another one that I used to do on Sunday mornings when I came to the ballpark. And it was one that's three things for sure today. The sun's going to shine, the wind's going to blow, and Big Dave's going to go 4 for 4.
I got everybody going.
Come on, coach.
So I used to push that, and I would say those things, and they'd put you on the line. Ali was one of my favorite guys because he would make statements like that, and he put himself on the line, so he had to go out and live up to what he had talked about.
Hey, Dave, tell me this. I don't know if you guys were at the same time on the team, but Mark McGwire, who hits the ball farther, you or Mark McGwire?
Nobody hits the ball as far as Mark. Mark hit the ball 900 feet.
That's awesome.
What do you do? You win two World Series. Now, do you wear your World Series rings? Do you have them in a case?
Oh,
do
you wear them.
Do you let your grandkids wear them? Well, what do you do with those?
I wear them when I go to events for kids, you know, pass it around, get it dirty, you got to clean it off again, you know. But kids just take, they love that. Well, and the MVP trophy is one that I take out and kids would pass it around the room. And I get a thrill out of watching them.
So does that MVP trophy just sit on the kitchen table? So every night when you guys sit around the dinner table, be like, dang, remember when I won that thing?
No, it's in the trophy case. And when I have people come over, I kind of put it away, put it in the safe, you know, because you don't leave that out.
What about your grandkids and they know Dave Parker as Grandpa? Do they ever ask you for, you know, baseball advice? Do you try to teach them? Do you try? Is there a lot of pressure on them to play baseball or football or whatever?
Well, they try to play all three. They take that after me. I played all three, and I go out and shoot basketball with them, and they shocked that I can do it. You know, I'll be 70 years old in June, and they surprised that Grandpa still can get it done.
So do you watch a lot of college and NBA basketball?
Yeah, mostly college. NBA is so predictable.
All right,
but college is exciting. I'm looking forward to tonight's game.
Yeah, who's going to win tonight?
Oh, y'all got me. I think Baylor got a shot. I'm pulling for them.
Oh, do you have a favorite college team, or are you just a fan of college basketball? Because, like, I love the Kansas Jayhawks, you know. I didn't know if you have one you root for specifically.
UC, Cincinnati University.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say UCLA. We were going to be like, come on, Dave. Let's be real.
I mean, well, he grew up in Cincinnati, so I guess we should have known he's a Bearcat. We should have known that. Dave. And one more thing before we go. Cobra is out now. People can buy it. Is there anything you want to say about the book that they're going to be surprised to learn about Dave Parker in your book?
probably the fact that I established so many friendships. I got guys that write me, call me, and say things about me that I didn't even know that they would say. I mean, they just, one guy, Eric Davis, said that they talk about Dave Parker not being in the Hall of Fame. He should have a house up in Cooperstown. You know, statements like that. Baird Larkin, you know, telling me that I was one of the reasons that he made the Hall of Fame. I was very instrumental to his style of play. And, you know, it's just things like that that surprised me.
When you look at your stats, I look at your stats, your accolades. I think you should be in Cooperstown. Have you, was it tough? Has it been tough that you are not there? Or is that something that it's just an added bonus? You know how good you are, so you don't really need that.
Well, I don't really need it because my peers know how good I was. I dominated from 75 to 80 and did things that nobody has done. I was DH of the year back-to-back years, and I was like 39, 40. So I was productive all the way up until retirement. So I've done everything I had to do to impress the Hall of Fame and my peers. So I'm happy with what I've done.
All right, Dave Parker, thank you so much. Cobra, the book is out now.
Dave, did you do an audible version for that? Did you read it out loud?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet. Okay.
You need to do that, Dave. Thinking about it.
Yeah, just because you told him, he's going
to
be like, okay,
yeah, you know that Ray said it. I think I'm going to do an audible version so Ray can listen to it on his drive to work.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, Dave. Thank you so much, man. We really do appreciate it. And best of luck to you, the book. Hope you sell a million copies. I mean, the Sore Losers listeners, we can't really read, so we were hoping for that audible version. But, yeah, Cobra, out now.
Well, I got a foundation, Dave Parker's 39 Foundation. You can get the book there. You can get it from Amazon, Walmart, Barnes & Noble. So there's plenty of places you can get the book. It's a good read. You can always pull up a beer and take a book out and enjoy some of the things that I have said in it. So feel free to pick up the book.
Hey, Dave, have you see the kids nowadays where they take a key from their keychain, a key ring, and they poke it into a beer and they shotgun a beer? You ever done that, or did that kind of come after the fact a little bit?
No, I missed that one. I've seen people do it.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Dave, thanks, Dave. Appreciate
Dave's like,
it, man.
What a terrible question. Thanks a lot, Dave. Have a great day, man.
All right, you too. Enjoy yourself.
Bye-bye,
right,
man.
Boys,
well, that was
we did it.
That was badass.
Hey, that's how you get a good get. Props to Steve Scoobs.
Scuba Steve, get on the mic. Thank you, Scuba.
Welcome.
He's right here, Coachy.
Hey, man, I just want to say thank you. If those guests ever come swinging through, you know, we'll take them.
Definitely. I was just disappointed you couldn't get his video figured out. I was stuck on a Donald Duck image the whole
time. It's all good. You know what I forgot to ask him?
What?
I was going to ask him about the bet I've been doing. The one that you said.
Oh, the first inning.
The first inning bet. See like what he thinks about that bet. I think it's a no-brainer, guys. Over the weekend, I hit 4 out of 5.
So they didn't score a run in the first inning, four out of five games.
The bet is, will there be a run in the first inning? And I say no. And it's usually always the favorite that doesn't only pays about, 30 cents to a dollar or whatever. But you can make some cash. I mean – I'm telling you, from the 5 games that I bet, only one of them did not hit because it was a home run in the first inning.
The only negative I see of it is that's the 3 best hitters in the lineup.
Sure. I won't cash out.
But you also have a pitcher that's fresh and is not going to allow you
correct
to hit.
But you also have a pitcher who's trying to figure it out. He's just out there. Coach, he's been thrown to nobody. He's been thrown to invisible people for the past 20 minutes.
So they don't play like scrimmages and – I mean, spring baseball coach, they didn't play against anyone?
No, there was just cardboard cutouts.
Really,
if
coach?
If a pitcher's going to be cold, you find out in the first inning when he gives up 4 runs, coach.
Like, it's going to happen. You're going to make the bet, and they're going to score
games,
4
yeah
runs. But, I mean, I'm telling you, from what I've seen so far, that seems to be a really good bet. I like it right now. And you only have to watch one inning in baseball.
Well, here's your thing. This White Sox Angels running the first. D-backs Padres running the first. A's Astros running the first. Dodgers Rockies running the first.
Read the rest.
Cubs Pirates run. I'm going down the line. Cubs Pirates running the first. Twins Brewers running the first. Rangers KC, that's the one that there hasn't been. St. Louis Cincinnati, there's two. Indians Tigers running the first. Orioles Boston running the first. Yankees Toronto, there wasn't, so there's three.
I won that one.
Braves Phillies is four. Like,
I won that one.
Like the record, it must have been like 4-8, coach. Like largely there's a run in the first. I mean, you just got very now, lucky picking the correct game.
Go to Saturday.
Go to Saturday, Ray. See,
go to Saturday
real quick.
All right.
And Ray, I love that Ray is already ready to bail on our White Sox bet.
Oh my goodness.
Yesterday he texted me, goes, man, maybe we should bet a different team.
No, every day, coach.
They've only
been
lost
betting.
Two games and they lost last night. But yes, he was ready to bail on our betting on the White Sox every single day.
All right. Saturday. Toronto Yankees, no run. Nice. Orioles, Red Sox, no run.
Win.
Now wait for this. Cincinnati or Cleveland Tigers, run in the first. Rangers, Royals, run in the first. Cubs, Pittsburgh, run in the first. Braves, Philly, no run. Astros, Athletics, run in the first. St. Louis, Cincinnati, no run in the first. Marlins, Tampa Bay, run in the first. Now it's almost 50-50 on Saturday.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Brewers, Twins, no. Rockies, Dodgers, no. Padres, Diamondbacks, yes, run in the first. It's 50-50, I would say. Hey, yeah, what, which is gambling? 50-50. You spin a roulette wheel, 50 or 49, 49.
48, 49.
Well, there's also, too, another bet that I saw was interesting. Is it, will the final score be an odd number or an even number?
And when you add them together?
Yeah. No.
It's probably added together.
Yeah, added together.
Okay, so I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know if you meant like the Twins' final score or the Twins'.
No, added together.
And it looks like there's more evens than odds.
Well, the favored was odd.
Really?
Yes.
That's odd.
The favor is odd by a lot. And I'm thinking why? Like, why would it possibly be favored? Why would the odd number be favored? And I think that it's because the game has to, at least, it cannot end in a tie. So at there has to be, even if no one scores, a 1-0. So that's the only certain. So
is zero odd or even?
No, one. It would be one, coach. One run. You have to have one run.
I don't
run.
Get the advantage by having the game go into extra.
If no one scores anything, you have to play until someone scores.
Which always makes it odd.
A run, which always makes it odd.
But they don't have to just score one to win.
Oh, and if it goes into
two.
And if it goes into extra innings, it's going to be one run.
No, it could
not
be
necessarily.
Two.
It could be,
it's a home. That's got to be a home run, though.
It's got to be a home run. No, because let's say, well.
See, this is crazy. See, I thought you would like it because I saw it. I'm like, interesting. I wonder what the theories are.
Yeah, I think that's it because if it has to be at least 1-0, so there's odd big time.
At least has to be 1-0.
And if it goes into extra innings, the odds are it's going to be odd.
Yeah. So that's the only reason it's favored. Not necessarily going to be a bet that is for sure, obviously, because it can be any number.
Yeah, because even in the extra innings, what's crazy is, let's say the visiting team scores one in the top of the inning, you score two in the bottom. Odd.
Odd. Odd. Weird, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting when I looked at the board.
So did you bet that?
No, I didn't touch it. I just.
So what are you betting tonight?
Coach, I really don't
know.
That's
a confident better right
now.
No,
I really don't know. Like, tonight's tough, man. But
we talked to Dave Parker. He gave us an answer like that.
He said Baylor.
I like Baylor, and I'm going to stick by it. I like Baylor because Baylor looked really good the entire season. The only time they didn't is when they took a huge long break because of COVID, and it's understandable. You lose your reps. But before that, they were on fire. A few weeks after that, they were back on fire. They play so good together. Gonzaga, we saw the real Gonzaga against UCLA. They have weaknesses.
What, lights out?
They have weaknesses.
Oh, man.
Baylor.
I don't even know if it was a weakness because I don't think Gonzaga played bad.
I don't think
UCLA
so either.
Played out of their freaking minds.
I think Baylor's going to win this one, boys.
And
plus, they don't have a perfect record. They don't have to worry about that. Gonzaga's
that's all they talk about. That's a lot of
pressure.
That's
all they talk about.
But remember, the games I've watched, the Baylor team are getting beat by Villanova by 10. I mean, that's the Baylor team you're picking right
ooh,
now.
What? Hey, a 9-9 by 10 would be great.
Oh, that would be incredible. Like, we got Baylor.
You guys
game.
Get it on the last game
I mean,
of the
coach,
tournament.
No, Baylor, I would
Houston,
love my life.
8-9. Stupid. Stupid.
Yeah, did you see that, coach?
No, was it really?
8-9.
Yeah. You know who had that number?
Batter's Buck.
No.
Hey, did you hear Dave Parker say Batter's Buck?
I did. Yeah, we both looked at Ray, and Ray looked just like he had no idea what we were talking about.
Hey, I thought he was doing the lisp too. Batter's Buck.
He listens to the show.
he has a coach sweatshirt on, but we couldn't get the camera to work.
I really wanted to ask Dave if he played with my dad. My dad was with the A's, similar time frame he was.
I think Dave wanted to ask you if you ever showered with your dad.
He wanted to ask you. He said, man, there was this guy Slater on our team. He talked about how his kid used to comb his hair.
All right.
Wait, coach, why? Because your dad played with the Reds?
Yeah, no, when Dave Parker's with the A's. Because he was with Jose Canseco, McGuire. I thought they
were
all
the same. Your dad played with the A's?
Yeah. I thought they were all the same time period. It might have been different years. So that's.
But I don't know if Dave Parker was in the minors. Your dad was in the minors.
Well, no. They played with, in camp, a lot of the times played with the major leaguers.
I do have to say, well, coach, I've been to those camps, though. They have different locker rooms.
Yeah, they have different fields, too.
And fields.
Coach, you went in the 2010s, probably.
2000.
I'm talking about the 70s, coach.
Yeah, your 70s, you're probably right. They probably didn't have different fields.
Coach, there wasn't cell phones in the 70s. You know that? There wasn't the internet.
Good point. I do want to say, though, Ray, and we played basketball on Saturday. Dude, this Ray's a baller. So whenever we make fun of him, obviously his sports knowledge sucks, like mine. But as far as the athletic ability, coach, this dude's, he's good.
Okay, coach.
He's good. He may be 5'2", but he was like, we were playing knockout. So
yeah, pressure cook, some people, whatever you call it.
You try to
thunder, lightning.
You try to make the first basket. If you don't make it, you got to get your rebound quick and
before the person behind you makes it.
And Ray would miss it, and he would just run up like lightning and put the putback back with just one hop, coach. It was beautiful. I've never seen anything like that. It was like poetry in motion.
Coach, thanks, but I'm not playing in March Madness.
Poetry
so
in motion.
Thank you, coach.
That good.
Really good.
My wife was watching, so I really had to bring it, but I might just retire on that one. I played so well. So
you really did, coach.
I mean, that's the thing. I really was a serious basketball player, and then I had so many coaches giving me all this crap about, you're not tall enough, your shot's got to be higher because you're going to have to try and shoot it over players. Well, I'm watching March Madness. There's a lot of shorties out there.
Not a lot of them.
Oh, okay.
And quite a few.
UCLA guy.
5'11". It's not 5'6".
5'11".
I'm telling you, I just had it. Man, I got to go tell those coaches. Man.
But that guy from Oral Roberts, Amos or whatever, he's only like 5'4".
Thank you.
5'3". He's tiny.
Which one? The center?
No, Abrams. The point guard.
I just wanted to say that because we always make fun of Ray, like, whenever he says, like, when I played in college, and we always laugh at him. Coach, he has ability. It's pretty cool to watch.
Well, while we're giving out compliments, I want to compliment Eddie.
I'm a great golfer.
What the hell did I do?
Your kids, man. Your kids are really, I'm going to say, they were, I didn't know how they would handle having two little babies around because I went over to Eddie's yesterday. And they were so nice to the little kids and tried to include them in playing and it was great. I was very.
But not my baby, though. My baby wanted to kick your baby's butt.
Yeah, well, both my babies. Yeah, you're
both
of
them.
Your baby was like my baby would be walking, my 2-year-old would be walking down the hill, and Eddie's baby would see him and run up behind him and just two hands shove right in the back.
I don't know I don't know what his deal is, but he just wants to fight with anyone. And I think with your two guys, they're all pretty much his size. Baby Box 1 is taller than him.
But there ain't no way they're the same size. Woo, your kid's got like 15 pounds on him.
Yeah, he's as big. He's heavy. He's heavy. And then you're
little. How much does he weigh?
I don't know. He's heavy.
He's heavy, though. Pounds.
Like when I pick up my 6-year-old and then pick up him, they're almost the same.
Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to say, thanks, give you a compliment, coach, that they are very nice and hands-on and included them. It was neat.
Thank you, coach.
You do a good job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And guys, I prepped it for the big show, but it never got picked up. Beat the streak at MLB.com.
Are you doing it?
Yeah. If you get 56 hits in a row, it seems a lot easier than it is. You can win $5.6 million. 56 hits. You can pick two guys a day. You can pick zero. You just can't have one not get a hit.
It's in damn possible.
And that stops the streak. It is underway. $5.6 million. To anybody that can do it. I believe the highest somebody's got is 53. For the year, whoever's the highest gets 10K. I got my wife playing.
The highest I got was 4.
That a kid.
No, I think I got more than 4, 6.
I mean, you can literally get 4 in 2 days, coach.
Yeah, and you can literally miss it in one at bat. I mean,
you just
got to
pick one player with one hit.
And you think it's so easy, but it's so hard.
And the safe haven is 10 to 15. So if you get to 10 in a row, you chill because you can miss one. You get a mulligan.
You literally just have to pick a random person.
Random.
You can't go for the guys that are like, oh, man. But then
you can't.
But then you start looking like 3 months in and you're like, wow, Mike Trout's had a hit every single game and I never picked him. Because you think, like, well, at some point he's going to not have a hit.
Right. You can't go Acuna every game because eventually he's not going to get a hit.
Yeah.
Acuna, I would go with him zero games. Get out of here.
Why? I like that dude.
Listen, the guys you want
Who's
are the Colorado
him?
Rockies.
No, he's not. No, no, no. Acuna? Who moved? I'm thinking of. Oh, he's played with the Indians. What's his name?
I don't know. Oh,
who's
Lindor?
The star? Yeah, Lindor. Who's
he
with
the Mets?
The Mets now. Yeah. We should have gone with the Mets instead of the White Sox.
Guys, this is how easy.
They haven't played a game yet.
Beat the streak
haven't?
Is.
No.
Every hitter for the Orioles got a hit yesterday. Oh, except for Galvis. You could have picked any hitter on the Orioles, and you would have continued.
Now, that's one team, if we would have bet on, we would have made a lot of money because they were big underdogs every game to the
Dang
Red Sox,
it.
And they beat them.
And the Blue Jays.
Guys, don't panic. Like these,
I'm not panicking.
I panicked.
Ray wants to change teams every day.
Come on.
Guys, they played the Angels. It's okay. Who are they playing this series? They're playing tonight,
Mariners?
Actually. Minnesota. Yeah, they're playing the Mariners.
Yeah, Mariners, that's right.
It's going to be all right, guys.
Yeah, they'll be big favorites.
Be right. And, we're down, though, what, $6?
God.
No, we're down $4.
$4. Betting like a bunch of homeless
$4
people.
$4 each. Yeah. But.
I'll tell my wife.
Hey, and before we go, I never give props to the University of Texas, but they are about to be a college basketball powerhouse.
Well, now
the
you said that.
Coach.
Now you said
powerhouse.
That.
Hiring Chris Beard away from Texas Tech with the new facilities opening up and the budget that the UT Athletic Department has, Chris Beard is an phenomenal coach. They're going to have phenomenal facilities, and they are going to be playing for national title after national title. 4 years, they'll be in the national championship.
Cool, coach. So they have a urinal that's made of gold. Who gives a rip?
I'm just telling you.
They have amazing bathroom facilities. I'm telling you.
That's a home run hire. It's a home Look run. Em. They're going to be so good. So good. And then the Loyola Chicago coach going to Oklahoma, and now North Carolina needs a coach.
What happened to the Oklahoma coach?
He retired, Lon Kruger.
I mean, yeah, he's old.
His son got a job somewhere, like a head coaching job, and so his dad wants to watch him coach, I think, so he retired.
In North Carolina, you can have Tom Izzo because Michigan State ain't worth up. Have him all you want. I don't even know if his contract's up.
God dang it.
Well, it doesn't matter if his contract's up. Chris Beard's contract wasn't up at Tech, and he just said, peace, see ya.
Saw somebody at Texas Tech had an autographed basketball by Chris Beard, and he said, always wondering a good spot to put this thing. Sorry, they're drilling. And he goes out in his backyard and punts this signed basketball by Chris Beard into a pasture with a bunch of cows. Always wondered where to put this thing. Huh? There you go.
That's really funny. That's really funny.
I mean, coach, it's an autographed basketball. Even though you're mad, at least sell it and get $20 for it.
Right. I mean, you can make a little bit. And it's a little bit more rare because it's when he was the coach at Texas Tech.
And, I mean, they had Culver that 1 year. They made a run. They sucked.
They went to
year.
The national championship game.
Oh, they did?
Oh,
they
boy.
Oh, boy. I guess I didn't
Do you
pull
remember
up
when Villanova hit the three at the buzzer?
Coach,
what was the score, coach? Do you remember?
Yes, it was an even score. It was not.
No. Give him 30 seconds. He'll tell you what the score was.
It might have been overtime, and I'll go with it was 67-64.
Villanova wearing white or blue?
Blue. Let me look.
You're probably right. You're stupid crazy like that.
Let me look up the score. I'm going to know. God, but and tonight, and then don't forget, this is when you have to watch after the game because one shining moment, it's amazing.
Yes, tonight, the White Sox are playing the Mariners on ESPN.
Oh, damn.
Oh, Virginia beat them 85-77. It wasn't even Villanova.
So what do they do after? I've never seen one shining moment.
Oh, it was 71-59. I guess they hit the three to go to overtime.
Oh, you were wrong. And they were wearing white.
Were they wearing white? Damn, I suck.
You don't remember any of that, do you?
No, I remember the shot, though. God, that was amazing. I thought it was against Tech, but maybe
was that? But that can't be that amazing because Saturday's game was the most amazing game.
I said one of the most amazing.
You said
one
the.
Of. No, I did not.
You said that Saturday was the most amazing game you've ever seen in college basketball.
No, I didn't. I never said that.
And can we get the fans back? Man, I forgot
there are fans
what it was
there.
Like. It's just not the same, man. I'm telling you, I'm yearning for some people on the in the stands. I'm sorry. Sorry,
and,
guys.
And I want to know what's on the other side of the tarp.
The tarp.
They split the stadium in half. There's something going on the other side. They're not telling us.
Maybe earlier in the tournament there was another game there.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was the women's workout facility.
Coach.
No. No comment. All right.
Sorry, guys. They're drilling downstairs. I guess we're going to build this place up a little bit. Music Row Property. It's pretty expensive, you know?
All right. Have a great Monday. Enjoy the game tonight. It's going to be amazing.
Yes. White Sox Mariners, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Honey, why are you not watching the college basketball championship?
We got $2 on this game.
And hopefully you enjoyed Dave Parker. Check his book out. Cobra.
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 Get two things
Cobra.
I don't with.
Cobras and condoms.
And Dave Parker.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Hot start, dude. I thought the audio was just going to chop in and out the whole time. I was like, oh, no.
You always run that risk, coach.
Yep. It worked out.
One shiny.